Good morning, church. Welcome to our online worship this morning. I hope the past week has been well for you. So if this is your first time here, you could connect with us more on our social media platforms. You could go to Facebook, give us a like, follow us on Instagram, or subscribe to our YouTube channels for more updates and information. So in the month of May, what we have been doing is we've been dwelling on the topic of reaching out. And we have been talking about how we could reach out to the less fortunate and what kind of mindset we should have and how can we become a person that is the light during this time of darkness. So as I was preparing and I was listening to the different sermons of this series, I realized that I become more aware and I become more observant of the people who are less fortunate than me. And I think about how I can reach out to them and how I can help them. Maybe it's just a text or a prayer. So these are the things that are constantly on my mind. So as we start today's worship, I pray that we'll all be able to keep this in mind and continue to think and continue to reach out to the people around us. So let us pray before we begin today's worship. Lord, I just want to give thanks that you have given us technology that we can come together at different places to come and worship you. I pray that today as we quiet down ourselves and to open our ears to listen to what you have to share with us, that we'll be able to see and to recognize the people who are less fortunate than us, and we can take the initiative to reach out to them, to share that love that you have given us and to spread it around. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to have new worship with us. Let's rise and worship our God.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love's so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, oh, for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Yeah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. In you, all our hope Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of
my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Loves that never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory
of the raising King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the raising King. We're singing for the glory of the raising King. We're singing for the glory of the raising King. Hallelujah. All the glory to the Lord our Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Worthy of our praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father, not my will, but yours be done.
Let us pray together. Father, not my will, but yours be done. How deep and profound is this prayer? God, we may not fully know the meaning of these words, but God, I pray you teach us. You teach us through the examples of Jesus, who is not only the first one who prayed these words, but he is the one who modeled these words by giving himself on the cross for our sake. We were once sinners, deserved death and destruction. But now, through his love and submission, we are called sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, we pray that this will be the prayer that is in our heart when we learn to give and love our neighbors, the poor, the needy, and even our enemies. Father, not my will but yours be done. May our hearts align with yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
We're in the middle of the sermon series called Reaching Out. And it's in this sermon series we ask the question, what should we do as a church during the time of COVID-19? What should we do as Christians during the time of COVID-19? Are we simply to get through the season, you know, make sure everybody's safe, you know, we don't lose too much money, you know, we get through this healthy, our family, friends, they're fine, and just, you know, just pray for the people and just sort of sit back and watch. Is that what we're called to do? And the answer, of course, is no. Because as a church, we're called to be the light. The light of the world. The light of the world is supposed to shine in places and in times where it's the darkest. So right now, this is our time. This is the prime time for the church to go and bring the good works and bring the gospel out into the community. So that's why we have this sermon series called Reaching Out. It's in this sermon series we talk about what we should do as a church. And today in my sermon, I only have one question. I'm going to answer one question only. I'm going to spend the next 30-something minutes talking about just one question. And the question is simply this. Why is it so difficult to be generous? You know, that's what we're talking about in this sermon series, but I think you felt this too, and I certainly feel it. Why is it so difficult to be generous? Let me tell you a story. Around last year of this time, there were a couple of really well-known worship artists, worship groups from the States that they came to Vancouver during a period of time for concerts, events, whatever you want to call them, right? So my friends and I and some of our worship leaders, we were really excited. So, you know, we gathered some of our friends and worship leaders and we bought some tickets to some of these events. I myself went to two of these. And both of these worship events were held at pretty big venues. One of them was held in a church in Vancouver, which seated, I think, around 1,500 people. And another one was held in a theater in downtown, and there was around, I think it seats around 3,000 people, something like that. As we went to there, you know, in one of those, the lineup was literally, it surrounded the block to go in. When you had the lineup to go in, the line went around the whole sort of block of the theater. And when you go in, you can tell it was packed. Like, it was pretty much sold out. And you can feel the atmosphere was, you know, people really excited, you know, like people can't wait to go. And then once you go in, you know, people were sort of, you know, I can't wait to hear this, can't wait to hear this, can't wait to see who, can't wait to worship, and stuff like that. And then there was an opening act, you know, a guest artist comes, which is normally the case. And then the main act, you know, the main worship team, they came and then they performed, they lead people in worship, and people were engaged, they're singing, raising hands, praising God, cheering, you know, praying, tears coming down their face, really, really engaged for both of these events. And I was in both of them. Around like an hour-ish later, as is usually the case, there is a time of a sermon, like a short message, so to speak. And what happened there was a speaker from both of them from a nonprofit organization. One of them is from World Vision, and one of them is from Compassion Canada. And I was just sitting there, you know, just listening to the message, and the message was good. The speaker was very dynamic. They delivered the message. They highlighted how you know, that there's needs in the world, and the children are in need, and how we can continue to worship by acts of offering and generosity in supporting the children. And both of them, they said, you know, we love because God first loved us. We love because first God loved us. And near the end of the sermon, there was a time for response. What they do then is they open up a time for you, and they will have volunteers sort of going around with these little packets. What you do actually is they will give you a time, and then what you do simply is just raise your hand. Once you raise your hand, one of the volunteers is going to come by, and they're going to hand you this little card. And what this card is a sponsorship card, and usually has the picture of a child in there and the name. And then what you do is you then take this card. After the worship event, you go to the booth and you fill in your information and you sponsor the card. And this is the time of response, right? Because that's the whole point of the sermon. That was, for both of these events, that was a very, very memorable time. You know, the singing was good and obviously that kind of stuff, but those 5 to 10 minutes of response, that was a very, very memorable period. Remember, we have 2,000 something worshipers in the venue, right? 3,000 in one of them, 1,500 in one of them. There were so many people. Just 30 minutes ago, they were singing loudly, they were raising hands, they were dancing, they're cheering, they're praising God. Now, as the speakers invited people to respond, this is why it's so memorable. I remember the response was cold. It was cold, to say the least. And it really bothered me, like the discrepancy between the passion of the worshipers and the passivity in sponsoring a child. The discrepancy between singing and praising God and just complete silence, and people just sort of, some of them were on their phone even. And the discrepancy between, oh, praise God, hands raised, hallelujah, and, you know, just all their hands down and don't want to get one of these. And I also debated for a long time. I kept my hands down for much of those period of time. I asked, should I raise my hand? Because I already had a child last time Compassion Canada came to our church. Well, am I going to have enough if I decide to sponsor another child? Maybe I can just do this after. You know, I'll just go to the booth after. I will just go online and do this after. I'll just make sure I don't forget. So debated for around 5 to 10 minutes, and the pastors came back up, and then he wrapped up the whole thing. He gave a prayer, and then the volunteers, you know, packed their cards and they left back into their aisle. And as far as I remember, and my memory may not be the most accurate, as I remember, there were around, I think, 5 to 10% of people that raised their hands to support a child. 5 to 10%. Remember, we had 3,000 people in the hall. They were all, like, from my view of things, they were all really engaged. And there's only 5 to 10% of people decided to be generous and support and love the people as God has loved them. And then after a little bit of time, the band came back on, they played a fast song, and the crowd was energized again, like they was raised from the dead. And it's almost as if, you know, they just watched a commercial. Like they had a commercial break, and then they came back, you know, and like, oh, everybody's hyped again. And like nothing happened. Nothing happened. And people were fine. Why is it so difficult to be generous? Why is it so difficult? Is it because we wonder whether we have enough, whether our finances, we don't have enough, or is it because we think that, you know, other people are gonna do it, or I have done enough already, I already sponsored a kid, you know? Why is it so difficult to be generous? This is not an issue in our time, right? It's not just an issue in our time. Back in Jesus' days, that's something common too. Remember there was an encounter that he had with a young man, a young rich man, to be completely specific. In Mark chapter 10, it describes that incident, verse 17 to 22. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's very genuine. He's very genuine. He's being very respectful. And you can tell he has a sense of desire to follow God and pursue God more. So he asked that question, right? And then Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? Nobody is good except God alone. And you know the commandments. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your father and your mother. And the young man said to Jesus, he said, "Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth. All of these I've kept from my youth. I've gone to church regularly. You know, even though it's online service, I still go every single week. You know, I do my offering, I do my tithes. I worship, I sing at home, I do devotion, I pray. You know, I regularly do all this and I serve. I've done everything that you have told me to do. All these I have kept from my youth." And here's the climax. Jesus, looking at him, it says he loved him. Like, this is out of love that he says what he says next. And Jesus said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." And the young man, his response, he was disheartened by the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Why is it so difficult to be generous? Is it because the expectation of generosity is actually somewhat unrealistic? Like, Jesus, like, sell all that we have and give to the needy. That's impossible. That must be either a hyperbole, like you're just exaggerating to make an effect, or it must be an exception. You know, this is just addressed to that young rich man because he's extra rich and because of certain characteristics. So it doesn't apply to me. This is unrealistic. Actually, Jesus doesn't just say this to the young rich man. He says this multiple times and teaches this multiple times in his ministry. He says elsewhere in Luke chapter 12, 33, he teaches this. He says, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys." But Jesus, this is my savings. This is hard-earned savings. This is my house, my apartment. I worked like so hard for this. I saved up for 2 years, 3 years, and I asked my parents for a loan, and they helped me, and now I'm in mortgage. You know, the car that I saved up for, I had an old car, and now I finally renewed it. This is my collection that I have from my youth. I can't sell them and give it to a person I don't even know. Like, most of the time, they won't even know it's me. I can't do that. That's unrealistic. Unrealistic. Why is it so difficult to be generous? Why is it so difficult? I want to tell you another story, and this is much more recent. It's from the past 2 weeks, my story. A lot of times when you ask other speakers, they would tell you this too. Very often at the time, when we prepare a message, we firsthand get to experience that message personally. So in my case, this time is not any different. I had a major generosity struggle in the past 2 weeks. Now I'll tell you what was going on. 2 weeks ago, I was preparing for this sermon and I was just doing some research, and I was researching on nonprofit organizations because, you know, that's part of a key part of this series here. And I remember during that research, I had two unread emails from Compassion Canada. I had two unread emails in my inbox that I just forgot about them. So, okay, maybe I should go take a look on what that says, right? Compassion Canada, if you don't know, Compassion Canada is an organization that partners with local churches around the world to help children out of poverty. That's their goal. So I scrolled down to my inbox and I found the email, and I realized that the email was notifications from Compassion Canada telling me I have two unread letters from my sponsor children. And then I was like, okay, maybe I forgot about this. So I opened up the letter online, and I felt extremely guilty. First is because the date, the letter was sent from February of this year. So that means I've left it there for 3 months and I didn't touch it. I didn't even open it. And the second reason why I was so guilty is because the last letter that I sent them was a year ago. So let me get this right. I sent them a letter a year ago, and they replied that letter, and then now they're sending a follow-up letter asking me where I've gone, basically. Why am I not replying them? And I felt so bad, right? So I opened up the letter. I made sure I read every single one of them. I just want to read you a little snippet of the letter, and I have it printed out here. One of my sponsor child, she is from Mexico. She's 10 years old now, 10 years old. She writes me this. She says, "Dear sponsor, Carson Lee," they're very, very respectful, very kind. She says, "Hello, I would like you to send me a letter and a picture, please. And I felt so bad after reading that because I know I haven't replied to her for so long. And she says, how are you doing? In your letter, I would like you to tell me how you're doing with your girlfriend. She remembers because I told her before I have a girlfriend and I sent her some pictures in the past. And she goes on to say, on Three Kings Day, it's like a holiday for them. It's like almost like Christmas kind of thing. On Three Kings Day, they brought a new bicycle and some candies, two bags of candies and a new pen. So I'm assuming maybe the church or maybe the parents got her some gifts. And she says, I'm doing very well at school, but I haven't learned to read well. I'm improving though. I don't speak too much. It's very, very, very cute. And then later on, she says, please pray for me, pray for food, pray for family so that they don't get sick and nothing bad happens. And then she asked me a couple of questions like, what do you like to do? What do you like to eat? What dessert do you like to eat the most? And she says, she thanked me for supporting her, for helping her and praying for her writing and reading. And at the very, very end of that, she says, she left me this message. She says, I love you, dear sponsor. She says, I love you, dear sponsor. When I read this now, it still goes, like, it's very heartwarming. It's very heartwarming. It's like butterfly in the stomach, you know, that kind of feel. It's like, it's almost like having an actual daughter. I don't know how that feels like yet, but I'm assuming maybe that's part of what it feels like when, you know, a daughter writes you a letter. It's very warming, very heartwarming. So I very quickly, I stopped everything I was doing. I was going to have lunch. I stopped everything I was doing, and I typed my response to the two children in Mexico. And after typing these, I just browsed the website a little bit more and because I saw a COVID-19 update on the Compassion Canada's website. So I clicked onto it and I want to see whether, you know, any of the children are affected. And on that page, a little bit lower, there was a section that says, pray for us, pray for us. So and there was a video inside that section. So I clicked onto the video and I just got curious and see what the video was about. The video was basically, it was children from all over the world praying. And I, who I think are also the parents and the compassion staff, they're all praying for the people affected by COVID-19. They're praying for safety, praying for health, they're praising God for his sovereignty, praying that he would stop the pandemic. And I was in the middle of lunch. I had my Subway sandwich out, and I was eating, and I felt tears coming down. I felt tears coming down. It's not the onions. For some reason, I don't know why, the tears coming down my face. Some of you may know me. You know, I'm not a person that cries very easily. But during that Subway lunchtime, for some reason, I was moved to tears looking at that video of children praying. Maybe it's just something about the innocence of these children, right? Maybe their faith, their childlike faith, and their just simple dependence. And they're praying for people they don't even know. So I had a profoundly emotional experience, and I sort of, you know, wiped my tears and continued to eat my Subway sandwich. And during that time, I knew for a fact, I know I had to sponsor another child. I knew that was something that God prompted me to do. That was the whole point of the experience. So for me, I knew that I must respond to this during that lunchtime. So I quickly finished my lunch. I went to the I Want to Sponsor a Child page on Compassion Canada. I scrolled down, saw the kids, and I sorted them by, you know, the kids that waited for the longest time. You can do that. And I just picked one, and then I go on to see, you know, the monthly amount of the payment, how much it is, $41. And, you know, I did some budget, I did the planning, you know, see whether everything works. I talked to my girlfriend, make sure she's okay, and I did some planning, and I got back home. I didn't do it. Like, after all that, I didn't do it. Like, it's not like I forgot, but I chose not to remember. And that happened for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I just left the child there for 2 weeks. Until 2 days ago, when I had to finish the draft for the sermon, I says, I have to sponsor this child or else I can't deliver the sermon. So I finally went and clicked the button. And I sponsored the child. The question is, why is this so difficult? Why is it so difficult? Like, it's not like we didn't have promptings. It's not like we didn't have emotional experience. It's not like we didn't know. Is it because we forgot? Is it more important things to do? Why is it so difficult to be generous? And it's not like I didn't have head knowledge, right? You know, because we were going through the series and we know this is our calling. We should invest in the kingdom. That's what I preached about before. I should invest in the kingdom with earthly treasures. Invest in the kingdom treasure. And I have all the head knowledge and it's so, so difficult to give $41 a month. Heck, it's even more difficult. Like, it's not just $41 a month. $15 a year is difficult. You see, let me explain this. Compassion Canada, every single year, they would send you an email telling you, hey, your sponsored child's birthday is coming up. Would you want to give them a birthday gift? And you can choose anywhere from $15 to $100. And every single year, I see that email, I trash it right away. Why is it so difficult to be generous? I'm a sponsored parent. Why is it so difficult to give $15 a year? Why is it so difficult to be generous? Why? The reason why it's so difficult to be generous, it's not to do with any of the reasons we listed above. Like, they certainly contribute, but that's not the main reason. There's only one main reason. The main reason is the matter of heart, where your heart is. Now, you know, that's so cliche, yeah, yeah, the heart, where your heart is. But it's true. The matter is of the heart. Right? Remember, if you go back to that scripture a little earlier, Luke 12:33, the context of that teaching was Jesus was teaching us, okay, don't depend on riches, don't trust in riches. He says, do not worry, for the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father knows them all. So seek first the kingdom of God. And then he says, Luke 12:33, he says, so sell your possessions, give to the needy, and provide yourself with money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And the next verse is the key. The next verse is the reason. Here goes, okay? Chapter 12, verse 34. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you focus on the first part of the teaching, like I did, like verse 33, you know, the selling, the giving, and the storing treasures in heaven, then we have focused on the wrong thing, right? Because no matter how much you understand these things, you're still there for the wrong reason. And generosity will continue to be difficult because that's not the main point. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, investing in the kingdom of heaven, you know, storing treasures, that's all good reasons, but that shouldn't be the main reason. The main thrust of it should be from the heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the focus. Now, what does that mean? You know, you've heard about this a couple of times if you've grown up in the church. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What does that mean? The treasure in here doesn't just mean finances. It doesn't just mean your cash wallet. That's not only what it means. In fact, the Greek language is much more broader than that. It's much more deeper than that. The Greek language, it literally means a treasure box. Like that word treasure, it means treasure box or a storehouse for treasure. Basically, what you see as valuable. What you see as valuable, what you love. So in other words, if we substitute that in, it's for what you see as valuable, there will your heart be also. Or who you see as valuable, there will your heart be also. What you love, who you love, there will your heart be also. Ah, that's a little bit more clear. And the heart, you know, the heart in the biblical language is much more than just, you know, a blood-pumping organ. The heart is everything that a person is. The heart is the control center, is the reason, the motives, the desires, the way we do certain things. It's the living. The heart is everything that a person is. So, in other words, when we put that in, for what you see as valuable, or who you see as valuable, there will your whole life be. For what you love, or who you love, there will your whole way of living revolve around. That is the law of generosity. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus teaches, the law of generosity. Is it difficult? Not really, if you think about it. We're all very generous if you think about it. Give you a few examples. Dating, let's take dating for example. For me back then, when I was in high school, I first started dating Fizz. I was very generous, right? Not that I'm not generous now, I'm still very generous, but you know, I was extra generous back then, you get my point. I remember back then, we would go for dinner, and how it works is like this, right? I lived on number 2 back then, number 2 Blundell, and there was a Blundell Center right next to it, and I lived basically like 2 minutes of a walk. And then she lived a block down, so like a 30-minute walk. When we would choose to have dinner in Blundell Center, what I would do, I didn't have a car back then, right? Well, I had a car, but I didn't want my mom to know. Anyway, I didn't have a car, so I would walk 30 minutes to her house, 30 minutes with her back to the restaurant, 30 minutes afterwards, 30 minutes walk her back to her house, and then 30 minutes for myself to walk back to my home. So what should be a 4-minute transit turned into 2 hours? But I was extremely generous. Who I saw as valuable, there my whole way of life is gonna go. That's the law of generosity. I was very generous with my time. And you know, let's talk about money, right? Resources. Flowers are expensive. Especially for a high school student who didn't have too much of a part-time job. Flowers are expensive. Valentine's Day roses are very expensive. It was like back then, it was like $100 for 2,000 or something like that, right? But the law of generosity, where your treasure is, who you see as valuable, there your whole wallet is gonna go, like your whole life savings is gonna go. Generous, we're extremely generous. And you know, that's like the first couple of dates, right? That's before the engagement ring, before wedding ring, before weddings, none of that. Just the first little part. We are very generous to who we value and what we value. That's the law of generosity. Let's take another example, right? Some of us here are parents. We are very, very generous with our children. We buy the best clothes, we buy the best food, we buy the best toilet paper, the best diapers, the best toys, the best playmat, the best everything. Because the child is of utmost value to you, you will spend all you have to get the best for them, and rightfully so. That's your treasure. That's your who you value. So you would, or your whole life is gonna go. We're very generous. We're extremely generous creatures, if you think about it. We're generous with the people we love, and that's the law of generosity. That's the law. So is generosity all that difficult? It's actually not that difficult. The issue isn't whether we understand the investment principle. Issue is very rarely whether, you know, there's enough cash, enough finances. The issue primarily is our hearts. Who do we see as valuable? Where is our heart tuned to? Who do we see as valuable? And when Jesus teaches us these things, who do you think Jesus saw as valuable? Who does Jesus see as valuable? Who does Jesus see as his treasure? Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. When Jesus was invited to a banquet, he gave this teaching. He says, when you give a dinner or banquet, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Who does Jesus see as valuable? When Jesus walked through the cities and the villages, you know, the gospel writer Matthew, he writes, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, like as in like his heart was like aching and twisting because the crowds were harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherd. Who does Jesus see as valuable? When Jesus began his ministry, he said this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover the sight of the blind and to set liberty those who are oppressed. So who does Jesus see as valuable? The poor, the captives, the blind, the sinners, the needy, the sheep without shepherd. These are the people all over the world right now. And for many of us, this is us. That's me. That's me before we knew Jesus, and that's me even now. He sees us as his treasure. He sees us as valuable. Therefore, his whole heart, his whole being, his whole life went to us. And that's why, though he was rich, though he enjoyed the riches and the worship and service of the heaven, though he was rich, for our sake he became poor. He was once clothed with honor and glory in the heavens, and now, at the cross, he became so poor that the Roman soldiers gambled for his garments. Though he was rich, for our sake, he became poor. That's the law of generosity. What one sees as the most valuable, there his whole life is going to go there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus is the most explicit and vivid embodiment of this verse. So church, the thing that we have to do is not to make ourselves more generous. Like, it's not like we have a knob that, okay, turn up the generosity meter. Like, we can't do that. But what we need to do is we need to align our treasures. We need to align our treasures. We need to align who we see as valuable to who Jesus sees as valuable. We need to align our treasures to Jesus' treasures. And as long as we see those people, these people, as our treasures, being generous is second nature. You know this from how you interact with your children and your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse. So the question is, how do we align our treasure? I'm going to give you three very, very practical steps. It's almost, for these steps, it's almost like dating. It's almost like dating. I'm going to give you three steps. I strongly encourage you and urge you to try this. And I'm certain that by doing this, your heart will, you'll find yourself to be much more aligned. Aligned with Jesus' heart. First step. Discover. Like, you have to know the people, right? You have to know the people. You don't know the people that you care about and you want to care about them, you have to know them, right? Because that's how, when you first had your crush, that's how it worked. You know, you stalked her on Facebook, you stalked him on Instagram, you sort of get to know her, ask their friends about her, you know, try to find out everything you can. You need to discover who they are, where they are. For me, I was able to find that my sponsor children, they were in Mexico. It says in their profile which city they live in. I don't know how to spell their city name, I don't remember them, and I don't even know where it is. So what I did was I Google mapped them. I put the city in Google map, and I found one was in sort of central Mexico, one was in southern Mexico, one was a little farther next of Mexico at the edge. And then I zoomed into the Google Street View. I saw, oh, the streets are very empty. The concrete walls are white walls, and the streets are very empty. There's not much going on, not many stores. I found out in each of these communities, around 3,000 people in their community, and half of them are unemployed. Half of them are unemployed. And for one of my sponsor child, both of her parents are unemployed. And because of this, the church plays a huge role in the community. The church is not just a Sunday school place. It's not just Sunday you go there. The church is a place of refuge, a place of learning, a place of resources, community, knowing Jesus. So the church is very important. And that's why I support Compassion Canada. So discover them. Discover the people that are in need. I know that for one of our ICOS, we did that as a project. Everybody chose an issue, a people group that they care about, and then they presented to one another, and then they talked about their needs and how we can solve those issues. I urge you to do the same. It's so easy to do it now with Google, right? I urge you to do the same. Discover the people group. Know about them. And the second step, connect with them. Personally, if possible, connect with them. It's like, again, it's like dating, right? You message a person, you try to arrange for a date, you know, get to know them, have personal communications, you can't wait to text them. That's the same thing. Connect with the people that you want to care about. For me, you know how sometimes, you know, in the morning you open up social media, or throughout the day you open up social media platforms and you try to see what the latest updates are with your friends and, you know, with the news and stuff like that. For me, it's the same, but I do that with compassion.ca. I look at, you know, whether there are new letters from my kids, whether there's new photos or new updates. I checked to see, you know, every day I check whether the new sponsored child has received my sponsorship and whether she knows. You know, I check that every day because I connect it with them. There's relationship. And I encourage you to do the same. Connect with the people group. Talk to them, message them, interview them. If not the people group, can you talk to the organizations? Get to know the organizations that's helping them, because through that way you have a connection as well. And that's what we did as a church. We conducted interviews with Compassion Canada, with Union Gospel Mission, with Richmond Hospital, with Doctors Without Borders. We connected with those organizations. And you can view all of them on YouTube. Connection. Establish a connection with your people group. Third thing, step three. Advocate for the people group. Advocate for the people who you care about. Like, speak up for them, promote for them. It's like dating, right? You bring your girlfriend home, you bring your boyfriend home. Before that, you would prep your parents. You would speak good things about them. You would tell how handsome he is, how good looking she is, how nice she is, how kind she is, you know, all that kind of stuff. Speak up for your people group. Talk about the good things about them. That's what I'm doing now as I'm going through my sermon. You realize there's a lot of Compassion Canada plugs. Like, this is not an advertisement. This is what I'm doing. I'm advocating for the chosen all over the world. What if instead of posting, you know, just your family photos and just flashback photos or funny photos on Facebook or Instagram, what if you help to promote some of these causes, right? Promote, advocate for these people group. And I'm sure once you do these things, you will feel what I feel. You will feel your heart is much more aligned to Jesus' heart. Your treasure is much more aligned with Jesus' treasure. And generosity won't be that much difficult. So, church, imagine this, right? Imagine just a small little people group we have here, right? Imagine the power and the influence that we have. If we all group up together and line up that cause together, more importantly, imagine the difference it will make for those people group, for the children or for the causes, for the elderly, for whoever, whichever people group you care about. Imagine the difference that will make for that people group if we all align our hearts. But I think more importantly, imagine what it would be like for you to be more like Jesus, to align your heart with Jesus, to be more like Him. Imagine how great that would be. What a great achievement that is. So the question, why is it so difficult to be generous? Is it difficult? Actually, it's not difficult. We're all very generous. The law of generosity, that's what it says. For where our treasure is, there our heart is. Who you see as valuable, there our whole being, everything that we do is going to revolve around the treasure. So what we need to do is align the treasure with Jesus' treasure. And generosity is not so difficult after all. Let's pray together. God, you have called us to be generous. That's a calling. And you have called us to reach out to the community and to the people you so deeply love. And God, today I want to pray for those, especially for those people, throughout this sermon series, throughout this time, there's a prompting inside of them. There's a little heart stirring inside of them. They know that they should do something. There's something they should do. Maybe it's a children or a child, a picture of a child that's kept popping up in their mind, or maybe it's a number in their bank account, number of finances. They know they should do something. Or maybe it's a people group or organization that they really think about all the time throughout the sermon series. God, I pray for those people who have a prompting inside of them. God, I pray that you will help them take that step. You'll push them to take the step. Your Holy Spirit will talk to them and will motivate them and will speak to them and will keep reminding them and will encourage them to take that step. And God, for those of us that are watching this and they think generosity is not for me, God, I pray that you'll soften our hearts to receive that message from you. And God, lastly, I pray for those that are already being generous and already practicing generosity. God, I pray that you'll continue to use us as your vessels. Continue to use us as your agents of love and peace. Continue to use us as light in the world. God, I pray that you'll continue to use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us rise to respond to our God.
Available. Yes, Lord, I am available. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. I hear you call. I say, I'm available. I say, yes, Lord, I am. Say, yes, Lord, I am available.
Let us pray. Here we are. Here we are, God, standing in your grace. We are available. Let our hearts not quench the Spirit, but let the Spirit lead us to do your will. We are available, God. Use us how you want to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we come to the end of today's worship, there are some announcements to share with all of you. So next week, we'll be having communion. You can prepare bread and wine or grape juice to partake together with us at home. The next thing is that in the month of May, what we have been doing is the Reaching Out campaign, where we'll be donating all general offerings collected to various nonprofit organizations. So I encourage you to continue to give today, and that we can share what we have with other people to spread the love around and to be the light during this time of darkness. So aside from that, what we are still continuing to do is to deliver food that you have donated down to Richmond Food Bank. That is another way that you could reach out as well. So the last thing that I have to share with all of you is that the Connect card. So there's a QR code that you can use that will help you to register, and then you can receive updates from the church, or you could register for oikos, you could send in a request for prayer, or connect with pastors. So this is one way that you could join in the big family of KEC. So as we come to a close, I would like to bless all of us with a word from Matthew chapter 5. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Father, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I'll see you next week.